the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. That's what everybody says, anyhow. What do you say we get things started with?
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This one comes to us from former President Harry Truman, who said, "Leadership is the ability to get men to do what they don't want to do and like it." Mm-hmm. See, that's something women learn when they're barely into their teens.
Let's go someplace where they treat us with respect.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, for sure.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
All right, well. Nicely placed daily threat is probably a good thing for us all. Keeps us on our toes. All right, kids. It was on this day in 1924, Metro Pictures, Goldwyn Pictures, and Louis B. Mayer Company merged to form Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, or MGM. And somehow, Louis B. Mayer ended up running the entire show. Got to be the big cheese, the big daddy, the head honcho. Wonder how he pulled that off. And it was on this day in 1964, Ford introduced the Mustang at the New York World's Fair with a base price of $2,368. I remember that, man. See, back in those days, a working class person could afford one. What a concept. Imagine if they could do that these days.
If you can find a better car, buy it.
A couple of years ago already, I was warning what these open borders of ours would lead to. And it was going to make a profound difference in our social makeup in this country, all over the country. Some places won't be as affected as others, but those who will be highly affected are, the predictable blue states of California, New York, and even purple states. I'm going to notice socioeconomic problems, cultural problems, to be sure. And they're definitely going to be raising their ugly heads within the next, 10 to 15 years. But what about immediately? Well, I don't think I had given much consideration to that. But there's someone on my on my Twitter thread by the name of Florida Now One. And a young lady. And she writes, "Organized crime is rampant in L.A., not good optics for politicians as they ignore what they created." Oh, for sure. South American gangs armed with knives are running wild on Los Angeles highways, targeting terrified jewelers in brazen daytime robberies, slashing tires, shattering windows, and even planting trackers on their cars. Well, now that would smack of really organized crime. I mean, organized criminals who really know what they're doing. And there's money behind this. Well, of course there's money behind it, because what are these gangs doing? They're trafficking in drugs. Now, I want to read to you something that is date-stamped April 15th, which was Monday. And it's from the UK Daily. South American gangs armed with knives are running wild on Los Angeles highways, targeting jewelers in terrifying daytime robberies. The criminals brazenly slash tires, shatter windows, and even plant trackers on their victims' cars. One jeweler, Stacy Nolan Soper, found herself in danger on October 18th as she drove home from downtown LA's jewelry district with a bag of valuable merchandise. Soper's vehicle was suddenly ambushed by masked thieves on the ramp from the westbound 10 freeway to the southbound 405. I know where that place is. And it seemed like he was going to attack me, Soper told the LA Times. Well, as traffic slowed, a car ahead stopped abruptly, and three men, including two wearing ski masks, attacked her vehicle, slashing tires, smashing windows, with one whipping out a weapon resembling something out of an action movie. Now, Soper's experience mirrors several similar incidents targeting jewelers on Los Angeles freeways. Another jeweler from Hong Kong fell victim to a robbery on the eastbound 10 just 6 days later. The shocking moment the driver was driven off the road and then robbed in broad daylight as he kneeled on the road with his arms in the air was caught on camera. Four men with ski masks intentionally crashed into a black colored Alfa Romeo on the eastbound I-10 west of Arlington Avenue in South Los Angeles. Now, the victim vehicle was rendered disabled as the suspects proceeded to rob the victim, according to the California Highway Patrol. A passenger in a passing car filmed the terrifying moment the robbers surrounded the victim and began rifling through his vehicle. Police said the suspects, who were armed with a hammer and a crowbar, then fled from the scene in a white Chevy Malibu. A witness who also filmed the incident later told Eyewitness News, "It seems like they knew what he had in his car. I felt really bad for him. I thought it was over for him, but he did the right thing." Organized crime and theft have become an increasing problem for the Dem-led city, with officials blaming zero cash bail policies. Well, rightfully so. And of course, you know, Sunday or Monday? A group of pro-Palestinians stopped traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge, and the cops did nothing. And the reason the cops did nothing is because they knew that if they did do something to break it up and open up traffic, they would be punished by the Democrats who are leading that city. Of course, that's up in San Francisco. Are the policies any different in Los Angeles? Not really. Now, this escalating trend, including additional thefts in Orange County, reveal a coordinated effort by South American gangs. Authorities, including the LAPD's Commercial Crimes Division and California Highway Patrol, are investigating these crimes. According to Captain Francis Boateng, the heists follow a pattern. Thieves target jewelers in transit, creating scenarios to force them to stop, such as slashing tires or staging accidents. Now, these highway heists look like a scene out of an action film as they exploit the freeway's potential for trapping victims and delaying authorities' response. LAPD Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton emphasized the continued presence of such gangs while highlighting that recent incidents reveal a surge in their activity. Well, of course, the damn border's wide open. I mean, you don't have to be Albert Einstein to understand this stuff. He said to the LA Times, there's not one crew doing all these crimes. Basically, these individuals crew up for individual jobs or a series of jobs. Now, the LAPD launched a task force in March in a bid to crack down on burglary tourists who use the U.S. tourism visa system to commit crimes. So you've got criminals from Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru targeting wealthy neighborhoods and places with relaxed criminal justice laws to conduct home burglaries before returning home with the loot while out on bail. A pattern that's not hard to follow. Nor is it hard for the criminals to execute. The troubling trend of Lanzas Internationales, translated to international thieves, dates back at least 2 years across America, while the problem's also reared its ugly head in the United Kingdom. Authorities in L.A. announced the task force after a 17-year-old Chilean national was caught in Arizona following a series of jewel heists across the California city. The FBI set up its own task force to combat the thieves in 2022. The suspect and his two accomplices, 32-year-old Grecia Romandusky, Gaiety Castillo, and 23-year-old Sebastian Jesus Paraguez Soto, all from Chile, were taken into custody, where they admitted to breaking into several homes in the region. So you see, this crime is coming into the suburbs, our nice, quiet, expensive suburbs. The 17-year-old was initially arrested weeks earlier in the L.A. area with three other Chileans for robbing homes. The teenager falsified Venezuelan identification and continuously got away from the LAPD by making excuses that his parents had left him alone in the country with a friend of the family. Oh, they have all this stuff planned out. That's why they call it organized crime. He then disappeared after he was turned over to the Child and Family Services Unit. Experts say the unit's been increasing over the past 5 years as South Americans continue to use the tourist visa system to rob Americans. Law enforcement experts say the foreign cells of professional burglars, mostly from Colombia, Chile, Ecuador, and Peru, enter the country illegally or exploit a 2014 visa waiver program intended to spur tourism from dozens of trusted countries. Now, the program known as ESTA, that's Electronic System for Travel Authorization, allows South Americans to enter the United States for an unlimited number of 90-day periods. After entering the country, they carry out strings of break-ins and other crimes, bringing home up to hundreds of millions of dollars in stolen goods. And that is according to the FBI. In more conservative Orange County, District Attorney Todd Spitzer's made it his mission to crack down on crime tourists behind hundreds of break-ins. Spitzer argued that the Chilean government, led by socialist President Gabriel Boric, refuses to give the U.S. criminal histories of Chileans who use the program, which other South American countries typically do. He's even sued our federal government for not disclosing negotiations with Chile over visa requirements and is calling for new laws to stop these criminals from getting into the country. Now, the number of crimes tied to these kinds of crews are way, way up, according to LAPD Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton, despite overall burglaries being down. Now, he said that in one part of L.A. alone, there were 94 burglaries believed to be committed by the crime tourists in 2023. And then Hamilton told the L.A. Times that these groups are largely armed, but are more likely equipped with what's known as jamming devices to access a home's Wi-Fi and potentially unlock home security systems in affluent neighborhoods. Wow. He said they often target homes often connected to open spaces, hiking trails, and canyons that give them access. The LAPD sent out a tweet pledging to use the task force to stop the problem. They said LAPD recognizes the increase in burglaries where homes in affluent neighborhoods are targeted. We're in the process of connecting with other agencies impacted by these organized groups coming to the country specifically to engage in this criminal activity. They also tend to target people with less comprehensive alarm systems or only alarm systems for the first floor of their homes. Now, Officer Jessica Cuchilla with Huntington Beach Police told the OC Register, some of these residential burglars have been recorded going through second-story homes. In these instances, she says the reason why they're going in through there is because these people don't install alarm systems on their second story. Which doesn't make much sense to me, but hey, it's California. Chilean Felipe Lieves Solis, he's 33, was apprehended multiple times last year after being suspected of being part of an organized burglary ring responsible for a minimum of 10 residential burglaries in Glendale. He was arrested alongside Abraham Pablo Herrera Montesino, a.k.a. Juan Eduardo Salomon Castro, and Francisco Alegria Velasquez, two more members of the alleged crew. And one detective with the LAPD said in a court declaration that Leva Solis was part of a crew linked to over 30 thefts in the West Los Angeles area alone and saying he used a fake passport to open an account with Bank of America so that he could wire $23,000 home. Three other members of the alleged crew were found with over $1 million bucks in stolen apparel from a single burglary on December 27th in Beverly Hills. LAPD Chief Dominic Choi said, I can tell you that we have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country, that are coming into the country, and they're targeting high-end residents. Now, from that, I can deduce that whether the borders are open or not, these people are still going to get into the country. Solieva Solis is being held without bail ahead of a court appearance next week, having pled not guilty to 3 counts of burglary and 1 count of conspiracy to commit burglary. Imagine that. I'll bet you that's the first case where they didn't offer bail in the Los Angeles area in a long, long time. But why is this important? Well, California's a blue state. This kind of thing will be confined to blue states. No, not necessarily. Look at all the people streaming through Texas and Arizona. And now we're having problems of people coming in through our northern border with Canada. I mean, this is not going to stop anytime soon. So if you don't have a burglar alarm system in your home, you might want to start giving some serious thought to that. Got a fellow who posts regularly on X under the moniker DailyNoah.com. And he's running a little bit of a poll here. Should drivers be allowed to plow protesters illegally on the interstate? So I take it he's doing this in light of what happened out there in San Francisco over the weekend with these anti-Israeli protesters who just blocked off the Golden Gate Bridge. Traffic couldn't get across, and traffic was backed up all the way across the bridge for hours. So hence the poll. Should drivers be allowed to plow through protesters illegally on the interstate? And, you know, my philosophy is that violence only begets violence. But who's the first to the game here? I mean, again, we go back to what Sir Isaac Newton always said. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you're going to block traffic, particularly on a weekday when people are trying to get to work, trying to make appointments, and you're going to block a freeway because of your little pissant political beliefs, I think these people, these drivers, have every right to get out of their car and start beating the crap out of these protesters. The protesters they didn't get a permit to do this. We all know this. They're breaking the law. So why not take the law into your own hands as a motorist, as a working American, someone earning a paycheck and paying some taxes, which these protesters are not doing? Why not allow these people to get out of their car and beat the fire out of these morons? I will never forget the incident that happened. Oh, I guess it was mid-year last year, 2023. And this was in Germany on the Autobahn. And this woman, lovely, lovely, statuesque, tall, blonde woman, got out of her Audi and walked up to this female protester who was sitting on the pavement right in front of her car and dragged the woman by her hair to the side of the road and then got in her Audi and took off. Of course, then again, that's Germany. I don't know if you can get away with that in Germany or not, but I know the German attitude. So how about it? Should we be allowed to get out of our cars and physically deal with these protesters who are there illegally? Just give that some thought. John Brenner came up with an interesting point in the PJ newsletter, asking who is the president of the United States in 2024. Then he says, technically, it's Joe Biden, of course, but just ask around and you'll get many different answers. Of course, I'm contending that the real president, the person pulling the strings behind Joe Biden, is Barack Obama. But Mr. Brenner says many have speculated that Joe's not calling all the shots. Instead, his wife Jill or his cabinet, filled with the far left of the Democratic Party, are driving White House policy. Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump looms large, leading in most 2024 polls as the general election contender to the aging Biden. Now, a point that he makes here, that John Brenner makes, is Donald's not just sitting in court these days fending off what many consider to be scurrilous or even politically malicious lawsuits timed to interfere with his general campaign. And neither is he just doing rallies or playing golf at Bedminster. In fact, the former president seems to be taking up some presidential duties of his own as he had a surprising guest join him at his Florida home in Mar-a-Lago. And this is where things really start to get interesting. Let's take this story from Fox News as they wrote it. Former UK Prime Minister David Cameron met with former President Trump in a surprise visit to Mar-a-Lago on Monday. Cameron, who now serves as the UK Foreign Secretary, is in the U.S. to urge lawmakers to back additional funding to Ukraine in its war against Russia. And a spokesperson for the British government's Foreign Office described it as standard practice to meet with an opposition candidate, with Trump being the presumptive Republican nominee for this year's presidential election. Now, following that line of thinking, would it not be fair then to assume that they also believe that Trump is going to win the election? That's certainly the connotation I get. And as the world looks on at the fractious political landscape of the leading nation on the globe, we are still the leading nation on the globe, we're starting to see anticipation for Trump to take the reins back in Washington for a second term. Now, if Trump was trailing Biden significantly in the polls, do you think our top allies would be sending their leadership directly to Trump's home to discuss future policy? Highly unlikely. But as the chances of second non-consecutive term increase, and they do, a feat only achieved by Grover Cleveland in American history, leaders are starting to move their chess pieces into place right now. And they have to. They have to, because time is of the essence. We all know this. We can't spin our wheels, and neither can our allies. And not on humdrum topics either. The war in Ukraine's been a major point of contention globally. In America, of course, and especially in the Republican Party, concerns for oversight and the high level of funding being poured into Ukraine have become even clearer in light of Biden's second consecutive war in Israel, which has gotten far less in funding or resolute support than Russia's neighbor. Now, Trump himself has declared that with his foreign policy, not only would this war never have happened, but if he was in the White House, he could put an end to the conflict in 24 hours. He's said this many times over. Obviously, the man has a plan. So Trump, the dealmaker, seems more than ready to bring relative peace back to the globe rather than seeing new wars spark up each year as Biden tries a play nice foreign policy with enemies like Iran and Hamas. And I don't know that I would really describe those as play nice policies. I think it's pure capitulation. I mean, what else could it be? And some global leadership and media have speculated over Trump's comments that he would put a stop to the endless flow of cash to Ukraine and open the door to Russia sweeping through Europe. This may have motivated Cameron to make a face-to-face personal plea over Ukrainian funding, but this concern over Trump's foreign policy seems ironic in the face of his first term results and his America First policies. Go back to his first term. You've got to recall how successful it was. So as these two wars, and make no mistake about it, they are all-out wars. As these two wars continue to devastate parts of the globe and raise international tensions between the West and a growing axis of Russia, Iran, and China, at least one person clearly wants a swift and just end to both conflicts. And that's Donald Trump. And the polls seem to indicate that if Biden doesn't oversee their conclusion, Trump is likely to be in a position to do so starting in January of 2025. Turning to business, Tesla is planning to lay off over 14,000 employees. That's more than 10% of its global workforce. And this is their first large-scale layoff in over a year, according to an internal memo this week. Yeah, the company's electric vehicle sales have begun to stagnate amid a decline in demand. And I'd like to emphasize that term, decline in demand. And then there's also the increased competition from Chinese car makers, but I don't think that's as big a danger as the fact that nobody wants to buy an EV. Now, Tesla's shares fell over 5% on the news, and I think it's probably going to get worse. So CEO Elon Musk said the layoffs are part of a cost-cutting measure as the company prepares for its next phase of growth. Really? That's optimistic. Because nobody wants to buy an EV. Also, two top executives at Tesla the other day announced their departure. Engineering executive Drew Baglino and policy and outreach executive Rohan Patel. I'd like to know just exactly what a policy and outreach executive does. I'd like to hang that shingle on my office wall here. Who knows? Maybe I could get myself a six-figure a year job. Anyhow, the shakeup comes after Tesla earlier this month posted its first year-over-year decline in quarterly sales since 2020. Now, 2020, of course, was understandable because of COVID. But what's the problem now? Did I happen to mention that nobody wants to buy an EV? Okay. Anyhow, the report came after China's BYD briefly overtook Tesla as the world's top seller of battery electric vehicles last year. In January, Musk said Tesla would soon release a cheaper $25,000 model rumored to compete with BYD, but that plan has now reportedly been tabled, with Musk prioritizing the debut of a robo-taxi fleet due to hit the streets in August. And I'm not sure that that's going to go well for him either. I'd really like to know how much profit Tesla is making, if any. I'd also like to know if there isn't a fair amount of government subsidies going into Tesla and other companies building EVs. Because let's not forget, this is an environmental agenda that was taken on by the Biden administration. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Dustin Nickerson.
Yes, I am a comedian, even though I know I look like I was sent from the city to shut this down. I know I have strong narc energy to me. I know that some kids grow up and want to be Batman, not me. I was Commissioner Gordon the whole time. Thank you guys for being here. This is a treat. My name is Dustin. I'm 36. I'm not handling my 30s very well because I'm realizing 30s is not old, but it is almost old. Like, you're right there, you know? And some of you are in your 30s, you're like, that's not true. I'm still young. Yeah, the first stage of grief, denial. You'll come along. It's not. You got a little young in you and a little old. You're in transition, you know? Like, I still get excited about concerts, but I also get excited about Kohl's cash. I'm in transition. You understand me? And everything changes. You can get hurt doing anything in your 30s. Anything is dangerous. I play basketball once a week. I texted a friend my age, and I said, hey, are you going to be here this week? And he said, no. I threw out my back, and I said, how? And he said, folding a sheet. And I wasn't surprised. I was mad at him because we needed the numbers. I was like, come on, man, you're 36. You know you can't be doing that by yourself anymore. You freeze solo to sheet. Are you insane? You need a spotter for that kind of action. Everything about health becomes much more challenging. That's what it is. And even your goals change, you know? Like in your 20s, you say things like, I want to look hot naked. And in your 30s, you're like, I want to look pretty good dressed. I'm not trying to get in good shape. I'm trying to get in a shape that nobody comments on. That's all. It's hard. Like, I work out a lot. Ta-da! This took a lot of effort. I'm disappointed, too. I asked my wife, I was like, honey, I work out all the time. Does it even look like a workout? She goes, you know, it looks like you work out, but, like, also that you never miss a cheat day. All right. That's accurate, but hurtful. I had a friend, I asked him, like, hey, man, well, all my gyms are closed, you know, the pandemic, the gyms are closed. What do you recommend I do? And he texted me, and he goes, you know what, for a guy like you, already insulting. He's like, you know, you can just do a lot of body weight exercises. That's so mean when you think about it. Dude, you are so out of shape if you just lifted your arm. That's all I need from you. And don't overdo it. If that's too much, use your other arm to do it. Bend at the knees, buddy. I think what it is you kind of like get turned off by like the people who get overly preachy about their diets, because it's not one diet. We all know what dieting really is. Every day, we all have to make a choice. Am I going to eat healthy or am I going to be happy? Those are the choices we make every day. That's all it is, like cookies. Cookies make me so happy, I eat them till I'm sad. Does that make sense? that same friend who told me about the body weight exercise, like, do you ever cheat? He goes, yeah, I love cookies. And I go, what's your favorite kind of cookie? And he goes, oatmeal raisin. I was like, oatmeal raisin, have you not had the other cookies before? Oatmeal raisin, that's like a week away from being a granola bar. Like, just leave that out. It'll turn. Chop it up. Put it in a bowl. That's potpourri now. That's what that is.
That'll do it. Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.